thank you. My brother and I walked into my uncle's hospital room about 7:20 a.m. that morning. It was about about 8 weeks ago. And I had flown up to New York. I had been in touch with my brother about my uncle's condition daily, frequently throughout the days, about a couple of weeks. Uncle was struggling. Uncle's 88 years old, and he is a crusty old Greek, a New Yorker and a crusty old Greek, and he is quite a little fighter, but he was having a rough time. He was in and out of the hospital for a couple of weeks. So we planned for me to come up because Uncle doesn't have a wife or any children, and he inherited me and my brother, and I'm his favorite. So I needed to get up there and see how things were going, and my brother really needed the backup. So I walked in with my brother Steve, and there was my uncle, and he was just waking up, and it was actually a good morning. He was calm and peaceful, unlike how he had been for the last 2 weeks. He had been going through a really tough time. And so I said to my brother, you can leave. I got this. I'll hang out with Uncle for a while. And I did. And he was awake for a little bit, and we talked about a couple of things. And he said, Victoria, I'm ready to go. I said, okay. I said, you mean go? And he said, yeah, I mean go. And I had about a minute and a half of cognitive reality with him, and we talked about Jesus Christ. We talked about Christ in him, and we talked about which direction he was going to go. And for the first time in my 57 years of life knowing him, I had some concrete opportunity to make sure that I knew that I would see him at the return. And that window closed, and he fell back asleep, and I had to deal with some things that God was really working in my heart. There were some scheduled surgeries in the next day that, man, just weren't sitting with me. And my brother was just listening to the doctors. He wasn't really sure. And I said, Steve, go. And let me take care of Uncle today. So I left, and it was about 8:30, and I went back to his assisted living home, and I found the nursing director. And I said, hey, Carmelita, you've seen Uncle for the last 2 years. Uncle had been living in assisted living for 2 years. 2 years previous, my uncle is death-defying. He dropped dead on a New York sidewalk and was out for the count without a heartbeat for over 9 minutes. And he was on life support for 3 days. This was 2 years ago. And I'll be danged if that guy didn't recover fully. Less than 1% of the people that suffer a complete cardiac arrhythmia at any age recover. And Mr. Steve Edemos did, much to all of our surprise. And I learned 2 years ago that you never count anybody out until they're out. I don't care if they're on life support. I don't care about nothing other than, does God tell you that it's over? If it ain't over, you stand in the gap for that person. And my son and I were there, and we stood in the gap. And Uncle recovered, and he had a full another 2 years. He lived well and robustly for 2 years. And so there he is in you know, kind of having a hard time. So I go to Carmelita, the nurse. I said, what do you think, Carmelita? They want to do a surgery, and that's not sitting with me. I really think I need to talk to palliative care. If you don't know what palliative care is, it's kind of end-of-life comfort care, okay? And, like, I couldn't believe I was thinking about it and hadn't even talked to my brother about it. And Carmelita looked at me. She said, Victoria, you're so right. You're on the right track. She knew Uncle from 2 years of working with him at the assisted living, and so she kind of gave me a little of encouragement, and I left, and I went over to have a cup of coffee at Glenn's Diner, and I sat there, and I was just thinking about the stuff that God was welling up in my soul about my uncle, and I thought, man, palliative care, I don't know, you know, it's big, God. The phone rings, and it's Rosary. Rosary has been a lifetime friend of my uncle's for over 60 years in New York City, and she said, how's Uncle doing? How's Steve Areno doing? I said, not so good, Rose. She goes, what do you mean? I said, they want to do a surgery. I said, I don't think so. It's not fitting with me, Rose. She goes, you know what he wants, Victoria. She didn't know what we talked about that morning. She goes, you know what he wants. Do what he wants. He trusts and loves you. And I said, I'm going to talk to palliative care, Rose. She goes, do it. Hung up the phone. I head back to Good Samaritan. And I go over to the desk and I say, hey, is there a social worker I can make an appointment with? They're really tough to find. Overworked people, let me tell you that. And you know who I'm talking to at the desk? The freaking social worker. She's standing right there. She's available. The phone's not ringing. She doesn't have something in front of her face. She said, I'm the social worker. I said, cool. I said, I'm Victoria Finley. I'm Steve Edamos's niece. Can you help me? I said, I need to talk to palliative care. And I was like, kind of like, I can't believe I'm talking about this. And she said, yeah, I can. I'll make a phone call right now, and I'll get the palliative care team to see you right away. She goes, go wait in his room. It's now 10:30. I go in the room, and Uncle's sound asleep. He's really peaceful. And she said, they'll be there by 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock came and went. Palliative care team didn't show up till 2:30. I had 4 hours with Uncle. 2 of those hours, he was sound asleep, and I put my head in the Word, and I said, Father, you got to show me what I need to know and what I need to do, because this is not something I take lightly. I need to know what you want for him. I'm standing in the gap for him. Tell me what I need to do. And so I opened up the Word, I'm reading along, and I come across Psalm 48:14. For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. And you know, I was the advocate for my uncle, and God was going to show me how to guide Uncle to his end day. And I knew it. And it was overwhelming, ladies and gentlemen, to have that responsibility. But the light of his Word lifted me up. About 12:30, a guy walks in the room. And he says, hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so. I'm here to sign off on your uncle's surgery for tomorrow. He was a cardiologist. Never met him. And I said, sir, my uncle's not having a surgery tomorrow. Couldn't believe I said that. Hadn't checked in with my brother or nothing. And he said, I applaud you for having the courage to do what is right for your uncle when he most needs it. And then he began to minister the Word to me. And he told me how great God is and how doctors will give you all the options, but it's up to the loved ones to stand in the gap. And the man hugged me, and I sobbed on his shoulders as my uncle lay in bed. And I said, sir, you came here to minister God's healing to me. And he said, that's what I woke up to do today, Victoria. I believe to be where God needs me to be. And the guy gives me his cell number, and I'm thinking, do angels have cell numbers? Because you seem like one. And he left. Uncle woke up, and from 12:30 to 2:30, I had the most precious moments with my uncle. He gave Uncle a gift of healing. His mind was completely sound. His body was completely at peace, and we reminisced. My son called and told me he was awarded the International Baccalaureate Diploma, and he was so excited. I shared it with Uncle, and Uncle blurted out, Mark Elliott's smart! And I said, yes, he is! And we reminisced, and then he fell back asleep right when the palliative care team came in. And in 15 minutes, they signed off, and we were going to put Uncle on hospice that day. And I left about 3 o'clock, and I walked into the elevator, and I was so full, you know? And I sobbed, and I tried to hide it, you know? I had to get out of there. And I got in the elevator, and there's this little lady from God. And she looks at me, and she says, are you okay? And I turned to her. I had my back to her, and I turned to her, and I said, I just had to make a really difficult decision about my uncle's life. And she walked with me out to the rainy parking lot at Good Samaritan Hospital. And all the way, she told me about Christ's return. She told me about how good our God is and how he had Uncle right then and there in the palm of his hand. And how God was at work in me. And she confirmed every decision I had made for that day. And then she hugged me like I hadn't been hugged by, I can't even think when. She illuminated my soul, and then she prayed for me in the middle of the Brainy parking lot. Imagine that. And then she said, "We're sisters, and I'll see you at the return, too." And she turned away and walked away to her car. And I thought to myself, as I drove home and took care of a million other details that time will not permit me to tell you, the goodness of our God. And though you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Because Christ is coming back, and the hope is a daily reality. I'm not waiting for the hope. I live in the hope today. And yes, we will all face death, ladies and gentlemen, our own and those we love. But he will be your guide. And you feel no evil. And you will know what to do, when to do, how to do, and why to do. And you will be at peace. And God will get the glory. Thank you.